This week, we again have a double parsha. The Bechukal Sai. The Torah tells us at the beginning of Bechukal Sai. In Bechukal Sai, Teleichu Ves Mitzvotai Tishmu Vatisem Alsam. If we do mitzvot, so what's going to happen? The Nasati Gishmechem Beitam Venas Naharet.
Etc.
So the Torah promised us we'll have rain and the land will give forth its crop and there'll be plenty and there'll be peace in the land and there won't be wild animals and there won't be wars, and if your enemies do attack then you'll chase them and they will be defeated and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be close to us and he'll multiply us. And we'll again have plenty, and then Mishkan, etc., etc. All these wonderful, wonderful things. Very, very nice. The Rashba was asked, sometime in the late 13th century, the early 14th century, he was asked, but Rabbi, this is the ultimate reward? The ultimate reward for doing mitzvot is that my stock portfolio will go up? That I'll have plenty of crops, that I won't get beaten up on the street, that if I go to war, that's the ultimate reward. Isn't the ultimate reward Olam Haba? Shouldn't the Torah tell us that if we do mitzvot in Bechukosai Teilecho, that's Mitzvotai Teshmav, Atisam Osam, you'll be Zochet Olam Haba, Sadiq and Yoshmin, Vatosei Barashem, Benenim Yizib Ashkina, it should tell us all about Olam Haba, that's the ultimate reward. Why does the Torah give us these kind of secondary rewards? Tell us the ultimate. And if as v'shalom we do averos, as the parsha goes on to describe, so why does it tell us all the things? Okay, so your stock portfolio is going to go down. In other words, the crops won't be good, and the goyim will attack you, and you'll be defeated in battle. It should tell us about the hinam and tell us how much we're going to suffer in olam haba. That's the ultimate punishment. Well, why does it deal with the secondary rewards and punishments? The Rashba didn't like the question. What do I mean he didn't like the question? The question wasn't such a smart question. So what do you want the Torah to do? You want the Torah to start telling us that if you do mitzvahs, you're going to get olam haba? What's the Torah going to have to start doing? It's going to have to try to describe what Olam Haba is. Describe Olam Haba, it's going to have to start talking about the Shamos and the Nefashos and Gan Eden and Olam Haba and the Nenim Yiziv Ashkina. He says, there are many very, very, very learned people who don't understand what this all means. To a certain extent, it's very esoteric. It's very hard. We're physical human beings, and Olam Haba is a very spiritual kind of reward. And Gehinnom is a very spiritual kind of punishment. What does it mean that the fire of Gehinnom? You're going to have to start writing the whole book here trying to describe Olam Haba, the Fushos and the Shamos and what it means in Olam Gan Eden and Gehinnom. And the Torah here is written for everybody. It wants everybody to understand, both the learned and the non-learned, the young, the old. It's meant to inspire everybody. And it would be nearly impossible for the Torah to do a good job if it had to tell us about the Olam HaNeshama. How could we don't appreciate it because we don't know what it means. Do we really know what Gan Eden means and Gehinna means? Do we really know what HaNeshama means? So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose the secondary rewards and punishment because this is something that we can identify with. It's true that if we do these things, we'll get rewarded in the secondary rewards. There's an ultimate reward. But that the Torah doesn't go on to describe in detail, doesn't go on to mention over here, because we wouldn't understand it, we wouldn't appreciate it. And therefore, these are the rewards that are chosen. That's the Rashba's approach. The Rambam, as Rambam points out, had a different approach. Really, in Parshas Bechukosai, the Torah is not telling us what the reward is. That's not what it's going. The Torah says, if you follow if you do mitzvahs properly, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't say he's going to reward you. He's going to give you the opportunity to do even more mitzvahs. If this is the way that you're spending your time, if this is your goal, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to help us achieve our goal. Because if we want to really be involved in Shmiras HaMitzvot and Yirat Shamayim, and we're overburdened and we're overwhelmed by a lack of parnassah, we're overwhelmed by enemies attacking us from all sides, we're overwhelmed by ill health, it's very hard. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu isn't telling us what the reward is, he's saying, listen, you have a certain kind of existence, take advantage of it and I'll help you along. You want to do mitzvot, you want to lay b'chukosai, great, so I'll make your parnassah a little bit easier. You're using every spare moment to learn Torah, I'll give you more spare moments. You won't have to work so hard. You're using your freedom to spread spirituality, so I'll give you more freedom. Right? I'll cut down on the anti-Semitism and on the people attacking you, and those who do attack you will be easily defeated, so that you can do your good work. That's what this is all about. It's not telling us what the reward is. It's just telling us, helping us along in that direction. On the other hand, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, if you have a certain degree of existence and you're misusing your time, I give you time to be involved in spiritual matters and you're not taking advantage of it, so I'll give you less time. I give you a certain degree of quiet, of peace, and you're not using it to get closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you don't need the quiet and the peace. Take away the quiet. You have a certain degree of health, and you're wasting your time and your effort on bad things. So why do you need help? Tzachos takes it away. That's Tzachos. And that's how the Rambam understands what's going on here. And therefore, he writes in the next halacha, this is in Hilchos Tshuva in Perek Tes. He says, why did all the Chachamim look forward to Yemos HaMashiach? They didn't look forward to Yemos HaMashiach so that they said, I won't have to work so hard, I can spend my time playing more golf. Or, I get a chance to beat up all the guys now. Yeah, I'll give it back to them. That's not why they look forward to Yemos HaMashiach. They look forward to Yemos HaMashiach because the Tzaddikim and the Chachamim wanted to spend even more time gaining Chachma and involved in it and being closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because in Yemos HaMashiach, when I won't have all the tirdos and all the trials and tribulations that are so distracting, I can do even more in my relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why they wanted Yemos HaMashiach. Because Yemos HaMashiach, again, isn't the ultimate reward. The ultimate reward is Olam Haba. But the tzaddikim just wanted the ability to gain in their spiritual existence. And that's why Yemos HaMashiach is something that they all looked forward to. About 2 years ago, maybe three, I don't remember exactly, before there was this tremendous financial worldwide crisis that we find ourselves in, I read an article by Rabbi Yisachar Frantz from Israel. Many of you have listened to his tapes or read his books. And it was a very interesting article. He was writing at the time when the financial picture of the world was doing pretty well. And he said, take a look at the Jewish community. He said, as a whole, and again, not everybody in the Jewish community is on the same financial level, but as a whole, the Jewish community is more affluent than it has been in who knows how many centuries. When you take a look about the unbelievable poverty that people lived in, say, in Eastern Europe, just the beginning of this century, beginning of the last century, in the early 20th century. Unbelievable poverty. People, you know, didn't have a slice of bread. Then even families that are struggling these days are struggling on a so much higher financial level. Their starting point is unbelievable. compared to what it was. I read something that Rav Lichtenstein once said, that even the families that are the most struggling, that even on the poverty level, his maneno would have been considered gvirit, wealthy people 100 years ago. The whole thing has moved up. The whole level is financial success. Financial success. So Rabbi Friend asked the question, why? Why is it so? And he suggested the following. The Torah tells us, hints to a certain extent here, and tells us more explicitly in the Parashat Hazinu, Vayishman Yeshua and Vayivad. Kadosh Baruch Hu telling us what's going to happen. Yeshua and Bnei Yisrael are going to become shamein, they're going to become fat, they're going to have an overabundance of wealth. And instead of appreciating HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what are they going to do? They're going to be boy. They're going to kick HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They don't need HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I have it all. Look, I have it all. What do I need God for? People who aren't, for instance, people who are very, very sick, I would tend to think pray with more kavana than people who are very healthy. And sometimes people who are struggling, really, really struggling financially, more than people who seem to think that it's everything's here. So it happened in Jewish history many, many centuries ago, millennia ago. Vayishman Yeshua and Vayivad. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us everything and we turned our back on him. So what was HaKadosh Baruch Hu's response? He took it away. And now, maybe, as my friend suggests, maybe now HaKadosh Baruch Hu is testing us to see whether we've learned our lesson. Whether he can return the wealth to us and see that we're really using it properly. With the wealth, we turn even closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and not away from it. This is the test of time. After so many centuries of struggling so much as a community, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, okay, let me return it to you. Let's see if you've done right. If you learn your lesson, then not only can you keep it, but I'll give you more. If you haven't learned your lesson, well, I guess we go back to square one. We'll take it away. Start all over again. Now, he wrote this, they said, 2 or 3 years ago, I don't remember exactly. At the time I read it, I felt a little bit unnerved. Like I said, did we really learn our lesson? It's a question that we can ask as individuals. Do I deal with my relative wealth properly? The question we can ask is the community. Then when the world's financial crisis hit us, so now I'm beginning to wonder, is it a sign that we haven't learned our lesson? Have we not dealt with our acquired wealth properly? It's hard to say. No one quite knows where we're going. There are some indications that maybe we're beginning to turn around, maybe things are beginning to look up. And other people's prognosis is no, it's going to get a lot worse before it gets better. It's hard to say. It was a story that was told a number of months ago, and I have no idea whether the story is really true. But either I read it somewhere, heard it somewhere, that a very wealthy individual came to Rav Steinman, Bnei Brak. I think it was a person from Chutzlart, if I remember the story correctly. And he asked for her bracha because he was on the brink of losing possibly $80 million. So Rav Steinman turned to him and said, you had $80 million? What have you been doing with your $80 million? Implying, like, how much stuff have you been giving? How much have you been helping others? If the person I don't know, $800 million a year, and gave 90% to Stocker. I don't think they're staying on that too many times against it. But the implication of the story was that this person was not as big a Baal Tzedakah as somebody with his accumulated wealth should have been. And the story goes, our statement says, I don't know. You know what I'm giving up, Rach? Because Baal who gave you wealth, and you're not sharing it properly. But that doesn't mean that this applies to everybody. There are many big Baalei Tzedakah who are also suffering. But sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't take a look at the individuals, he's taking a look at the community. We can't change the community, but we can work on ourselves. Each one of us. And it's a question we need to ask. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us wealth. Right now, you're probably not financially independent on your own. But Bezus Hashem, when you start working, and you do have wealth, will you deal with the wealth properly? Will we? Will we give the amount of stock that should be given? I once heard, twice, I heard two different versions of two different sayings about Maisik Safa. Shulchan Aruch says that it is highly recommended that a person gives Maisik Safa 1/10 of his income to Tzedakah. So somebody once told me that Rav Amital from Yeshivat HaRetzion said that if everyone would give Maisik Safa, we would solve all our Tzedakah problems. Just Maisik, not more. Mitzvah Menmukra is 20%, but just 1/10 of some all our Tzedakah problems. Someone else told me that Rav Meiselman, Shishiva Taras Moshe, Kavish's nephew, said a little differently. He said, if everyone would give Maisik Safin, we wouldn't know what to do with the money. We would not only solve all our sucker problems, we'd have leftover money, we simply wouldn't know what to do with it. I think he was talking when the financial crisis, financial situation was a little bit better. But what are we doing? Are we doing what we should be doing? Our Kavish Baruch Hu gives us help. Do we take advantage of our health? Do we appreciate it? He gives us wisdom. So, what will we spend our time, what kind of intellectual pursuits are we going to be involved in? He gives us the ability to help others. Not financially. So, do we? Do we help out people as much as we can? Care, friends, neighbors, and relatives. He gives us time on our hands. We spend time learning. We spend time doing the chesed. Because Baruch Hu tells us, in Ruchikol Saitei Leichu, we'll start at whatever point. The more you take advantage of it in the right way, the more you'll get. Because Baruch Hu is more than that. It doesn't cost him anything to give out. And I'm happy to do so. Rahman of Islam takes up a great portion of the parsha. Is that unfortunately we misuse all the great gifts that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us. As individuals, as a community. Gift of Eretz Yisrael. Do we take advantage of it? Do we want to? Do we appreciate it? Do we try to build a country where HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to build it? Everything. So, halavai, we should learn our lessons. We should be zocher to in b'chukos ha'teleichu that since the site is shunah v'asisim of some HaKadosh Baruch Hu's response should be v'salachti v'sochichen v'yishi lachem l'elokim v'atem v'yubi l'av.